one of the things we always do is we tell you who's having a birthday. Mm-hmm. All the celebrities that are having birthdays. And this one particularly caught my eye. I hate to sort of, you know, telegraph what we're doing here, but today would have been Confucius's birthday. Confucius was born in 551 BC, lived till 479 BC. That must have been hard doing birthdays when the numbers went the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, that when you went into descending order instead of ascending order.
Maybe you were born at age 40, like Mork from Ork.
Yeah, I mean, it would be like, it'd be a compliment to go, man, you look great. You don't look a day over 90. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. It would be, you're going the wrong direction. So, in any event, but it reminded me, John, how many of these Confucius things, because Confucius said, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. But then you had, remember in grade school, you had all those Confucius things?
Yes.
I only remember two. I remember, and the thing is, the phone lines are going to light up here. I know they are. I know they are. Do you remember any of these? Was it the same for girls, too? Did you hear all those Confucius things?
Not really.
I think it was a guy thing.
Yeah.
Think so?
I think so.
I thought it was pretty much across the board.
But okay, which ones do you remember?
I don't remember any.
Oh, come on.
Confucius say,
Confucius say, man who have hole in pocket feel cocky all day.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a boy thing.
I'm clearing the lines right now. 969-9696, 1-866-455-9696. I don't want to know about the plane. I just remember if you, I want to know if you remember any of these Confucius things.
And this was when you were in school.
Oh, yeah,
like
grade school. Confucius say, man, have hole in pocket, feel cocky all day. I remember Confucius say, woman who fly upside down an airplane have crack up.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I'm telling you. KSI.
Hey, Confucius say, man who fart in church sitting on pew.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's an old one, yeah.
KSI. Yeah.
Confucius say, man who stands on toilet is high on pot.
KSI.
Confucius say, better to be pissed off than pissed on.
Yeah. He's a genius.
I agree with that.
Hi. Hello.
Confucius say, man with hot rod burn rubber.
Oh, no.
Hi.
Confucius say, he who go to bed with itchy butt, wake up with smelly finger.
Oh, God.
Hi.
Confucius say, okay to meet girl in park, but not to park meet and girl.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Oh, Confucius was a horny dude.
KSI.
Confucius say, woman who ride bike, pedal ass around town.
Hi.
Confucius say, a man who go to bed with stiff problem, wake up with solution in hand.
Oh, no. Confucius was a pervert.
Okay, it's I.
Confucius say, short woman who dance with tall men, come away cockeyed.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello.
Confucius say, who walk sideways through airports to turnstile, go to Bangkok.
Wow.
Yes, Confucius say, man who lose key to girl's apartment, get no new key.
Kids. Yeah. Hello.
Man who live in glass house, better dress in basement.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Hi.
Confucius say, woman who dye hair blonde have black hair, by cracky.
Oh, my God.
Kids.
Confucius say, man who eat jelly beans fart in church.
He can't even do it. He's laughing too hard.
Try it again.
Man
who eats jelly beans farts in technicolor.
Gross.
We're starting
to scrape
the bottom of the barrel here.
No, we're still doing good.
Hello.
We still got some fart jokes left.
Yeah. Confucius say, just when you build something idiot-proof, somebody builds a better idiot.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, March 15th, 2022, 246 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How are you doing, kids?
Almost didn't have a podcast here today. Almost did not have one. You know, I don't know if you're like me, and I pray to God you're not, but if you are, you can recover from something involving lack of sleep the day after, but it's the second day where it seems to gang up on you and just put you away. And that's what happened to me. So the daylight savings time thing happened over the weekend. You lose an hour of sleep. Fine. I pop up out of bed yesterday morning. I'm fine. We do the podcast. Everything's great. Today, I couldn't get out of bed. But the other problem was, it was the first day of spring break for my daughter, who is 12 now, and she went to the amusement park. And the amusement park, riding everything, you know, and the kids are running around, they're eating cotton candy and the whole thing. And she came home last night and started doing the Technicolor yawn, if you know what I mean. She's just throwing up all over the place like crazy. So we had a night that was interrupted on several occasions. So, you know. And this is only day one of the spring break. Jeez, God, what chance do I have of making through this alive? That accelerated childcare, that can be a tough thing. It's sort of like the last show we always do right before Christmas. So usually it's like December 22nd or something like that. And go, okay, we're going to be off for a week or 10 days. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. And then almost immediately what I start thinking of is, oh God, 2 solid weeks of her not having school. And what are we going to do? You know, day one, usually. Day one, Dad, I'm bored. All right, I listened to KOX's report from spring training yesterday, and I'll probably go over there next week. But this was so funny. I was out doing yard work yesterday. It was so funny. I actually came in and took notes. So this was the this was the report from KMOX yesterday, live from spring training. Ollie Marmol addressed the team yesterday, and it went really well. What does that mean? He's the manager. How else could the story go? Ollie Marmol addressed the team yesterday, and there was an insurrection. They stuffed him in a locker and all went out drinking? What does that mean? Okay, Yachty. I don't know what's going on. He's not at spring training camp right now. He has personal issues. People immediately began attacking that. And it's like, well, let's find out what it is first. You know, what if there was a death in the family? What if somebody's sick? What, you know, could be almost anything. So I'm not going to attack Yachty. He's a man of integrity. And, you know, he's usually the first guy in there. All right. So he's late this year. It's probably something sort of serious or maybe family related or something like that. It's Yachty, so I'm willing to give him a little bit of a break. Plus, spring training really, you know, popped up out of nowhere. One moment they're talking about canceling the season, and the next minute it's like, okay, we'll see everybody on Thursday. It's like, hop, you know, got to get flights and everything. All right, but Yachty's got personal issues. I'm sure we'll find out. This was one of my favorite lines. Somebody asked the KMOX reporter, you got the whole free agency thing going on right now, and teams are signing players or deciding whether or not they're going to sign players. And this is what he said. This is the team, unless they make a trade. It's like the old Henny Youngman joke. It's like, I got enough money to last me the rest of my life. Unless, of course, I got to buy something. Good morning, everybody. And back to Ollie Marmol, by the way, who is our new manager, just in case that name doesn't ring a bell. Ollie Marmol, get used to that. Ollie Marmol says, the goal of this team is to win a World Series, as opposed to, we'll settle for third place. What does this mean? What do these sentences mean? Well, we got our uniforms on. We might as well try to win. Well, our goal is to win a World Series. Because I was mistaken. I thought that Major League Baseball was just a value-added cotton candy sales operation. But I'm going to tell you something else. You know, this has been going on for a couple of years now, and it's really, really bad right now. And that is that the players won't say anything. I could play you clips. I could lay clip after clip after clip right in front of you, and the players aren't saying anything anymore. You ask them a question, a serious question about something regarding the team. It's like, well, good Lord willing, if we just play our game and stay healthy and just focus on our own individuality, that we play like a team, and you know, everybody's got to stay healthy, and the fans are great, and nobody says anything interesting anymore. And there's a couple of different reasons. You got the internet. you say something that could antagonize another team or that could open yourself up for ridicule. You know, you mess up, you say something that didn't come out the right way, and then people, you know, next thing you know, your video clip pops up on Jimmy Kimmel. You got the cancel culture. You make a little joke about something, one word somebody finds offensive. Some guy sitting in Wichita decides to start a boycott of everything you're involved in. You know, so on one hand, it's like, geez, this is boring. And on the other hand, I can't say for sure that if it was me in that situation, that I might not do the same thing. My point is this. These guys go running into the locker rooms after the game. Everybody pulls out their tape recorders and everything, and it's like, well, you know what? You might be wasting your time. Nobody is saying anything anymore. Give me the days of Andy Van Slyke. I think of Andy because last night I had recorded this thing that they ran about the Cardinal teams of the 1980s. It was on the MLB Network a couple of days ago, and I recorded it. I finally got around to watching it last night. I think I had seen it before or parts of it before, but it was really cool. And they were, you know, interviewing guys like Tom Hearn, John Tudor, and they got to Andy Van Slyke. And Andy's been giving out goofy quotes for years. He's a staunch, dyed-in-the-wool Republican and always seemed to try to figure out a way to get politics involved in his comments when he was being interviewed for what was supposed to be a discussion about baseball. And Andy and I have gotten into it a couple of times. I ran into him at a restaurant in Frontenac a couple of years ago. This was right after the Kenny Rogers incident in Detroit. Kenny Rogers was a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. And you could see it on TV. You could see it during the World Series. They had this big brown splotch of something on his wrist, and he would touch that every once in a while. It was cold, and so he was trying to get a better grip on the ball. Now, here's a couple of things. In retrospect, I think Andy was right. I was arguing with him about it, and I think I was wrong because, you know, the more I started talking to people, like, yeah, it's like a dirty little secret in Major League Baseball because when it really is cold outside, any hitter will tell you, you know what, I'd rather have a guy out there on the mound in a position to have a better grip on the ball if it's like 35 degrees out and we're playing baseball and the guy can't even feel his fingers because otherwise he's going to launch a 98-mile-an-hour fastball that could hit the right in the face. So, yeah, it's illegal, but I'd rather have one than the other. So go ahead, let him use the banned substance, get something sticky out there. But Andy, at the time, was ridiculing people like me and other reporters for even bringing up the issue. And he was talking about, oh, you know, Kenny Rogers had a melted Hershey bar, and it got on his hand. It's like, come on, dude, we asked you a serious question and you came up with your Hershey bar theory because everybody knows that's sort of a counterintuitive statement. We're already complaining about the fact that it's 35 degrees outside and the pitcher can't feel his fingers. So how would you have a melted Hershey bar? That doesn't even make sense. So I sort of verbally accosted Andy. This was at Brio at Plaza Frontenac, and we sort of got into it a little bit. But, you know, I've known Andy for so long, and, you know, he knows that my heart's in the right place and everything like that. And like I said, I think the next time I saw him, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to take back what I said. It sounds like you were probably right on this whole thing. But I still didn't like the fact that we were being ridiculed for wanting to know the story. But Andy would always give great quotes. Andy would always, and there was always Joe McGrain. Joe McGrain was the other guy. I think he spent more time working on his one-liners to tell the reporters than he did on his preparation for World Series games. You know, got to have your priorities in the right place. Now, anyhow, that's enough baseball here. In the words of Martin Dugan and Donnybrook, hey, Shmupanda, something else. I am so tired of hearing about this twerp, Jussie Smollett. His family's trying to get him out of jail, claiming he's in physical danger because they're getting threatening messages. They also say he's immunocompromised, so COVID could be a problem. And it's hilarious watching them try to make this little prick into some sort of victim. It's like you got exactly what you deserved for this little stunt you pulled. Now, if you watch a lot of TV, a lot of situation comedies, you might be saying to yourself, you know what? I watch all these shows all the time, and people have dogs once in a while, but nobody ever has cats. Why not? Well, the reason is, according to a Hollywood writer-producer, he says the reasons that TV characters don't have cats is because they're impossible to train and corral, and you can't just let them roam around the set because they'll look like magical teleporting cats when scenes are cut together. So no cats, although there are animal trainers that will tell you you can train cats. It just requires a much larger whip. Stop it! I'm a cat lover. I have two cats. I've always had cats. We talked to Louis Anderson a couple of years before his death, and he was complaining about the fact that he lived in his house on a corner, and there was a giant pothole next to his house. And all day long, all night long, people would hit that pothole, and it was driving them crazy because you're sitting in your house, and, you know, every few minutes, it's like, boom, 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 boom. So he told me that story years ago, and then the next time, a couple of years later, I had him on, I brought that up. He laughed really hard when I brought it up, and I said, you know, what's the story? And he goes, well, there were some guys doing construction down the street. I gave them $100, and they patched it, but then I sold the house. Rod Stewart helped repair a local road that had been ignored for too long, apparently. He said he could no longer drive his Ferrari on it, and the other day an ambulance got a flat tire from all of the potholes. Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates, a member of Van Halen. Daryl Hall says Eddie Van Halen asked him to join the band after David Lee Roth left. Daryl Hall said he was sort of half joking. He says, well, I thought he was serious. Obviously, it never ended up happening. I don't understand this Dolly Parton thing. Now, I've told this story before. Dolly Parton ended up, out of all of the hundreds and hundreds of interviews I did in Hollywood and in New York for television, all the comedians and rock stars and just all the celebrities, actresses, everything like that. People always want to know who is the most beautiful woman you ever interviewed. And there's a couple. You know, I would say that Nicole Kidman is definitely the most statuesque. I mean, she comes walking in. It's just impossible not to just stand there and stare. Yasmin Bleeth from Baywatch, probably the whole package, the most beautiful woman I ever interviewed, and such a shame now because you've seen pictures of her on the internet, and to say she has let herself go would be the understatement of the century, but a lot of men do that too, so I guess you can't really jump on women, although jumping on women sometimes could be even more fun, but I digress. But the real surprise for me, and therefore I put her probably in the number two or three category of the most beautiful women I ever interviewed in person, is Dolly Parton. I guess it was 1989, and there was a movie called Steel Magnolias. Julia Roberts, all these actresses playing these eccentric Southern women. And I walked in, my image of Dolly Parton was big boobs, big hair, tiny woman, beautiful voice, mega star. You know, I watch the way other female singers react to a different female singer. So when you see people paying tribute to people like Joni Mitchell, you know it's not just you who has an appreciation for somebody like Joni Mitchell, because all the other women around her are like, oh God, don't even, you know, I couldn't even carry her zither case. First zither reference of the day, by the way. The one that sort of surprised me was that redneck woman chick from the Pocahontas, Illinois. I can remember all that. I can't remember her name. And even Ann and Nancy Wilson came along, and they did some work together. Nancy Griffith, Emmylou Harris. People don't just work with Emmylou Harris. They pay homage to her. And Dolly Parton, definitely one of those people. Even Linda Ronstadt did some stuff with Dolly Parton. It's really hard to find a better singer than Linda Ronstadt. So yesterday, after having been nominated for consideration to be entered into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, she said she's very grateful and flattered, but she says, I don't feel like I've earned the right. So I'm not exactly sure I understand this, but we'll keep an eye on it here. Johnny Cash, Chet Atkins, Floyd Kramer, Bill Monroe, Hank Williams, Bob Wills, Jimmy Rogers, all other country artists that are already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they're going to have to do something about the name of that place, because it's getting silly. These people who are rap and country and everything like that, change the name of the thing. It bothers a lot of people. I'm telling you, this Molly Rose over at Fox 2.
Traffic is starting to build in that southbound direction this morning. 44 still looks great over near Lindbergh.
You know, I don't know what it is about her, but she dresses better than anybody on TV right now. And she just has the perfect figure for it. And I've talked about this before. It drives me batshit crazy when women on TV are only judged by whether or not they're pretty. But she does a really good job, too. She was a general assignment reporter at Fox 2 for a long time. Now they got her doing morning traffic on the Fox 2 morning show. And, you know, there's just something about certain people. They belong on TV. And she just does a great job. But there's just something about the way she presents herself. I'm just so impressed by Molly Rose at Fox 2. All right, where are we here? Oh, Arcade Fire. One of my all-time favorite songs is Everything Now by Arcade Fire. What a great song. They played a show in New Orleans last night to raise money for Ukraine relief. I think that my Ukraine flag should be arriving today. Going to hang that in front of the house. 26th season finale of The Bachelor tonight on ABC. Second season premiere of Young Rock on NBC. Late night Seth Meyers pops up with Jimmy Fallon. Some old SNL stories probably popping up there, I would imagine. Jimmy Kimmel's got Kristen Stewart, Anne Hathaway on with Stephen Colbert. Minnie Driver on with James Corden. Seth Meyers has a new show, too, with some people that I don't know, so I'm not going to tell you their names. This is one of those lists that's sort of fun. People that we now know as famous actors and actresses who actually got their start by breaking into the business in a music video. Channing Tatum was a dancer in Ricky Martin's video for She Bangs in 2000. Matt LeBlanc, this one I didn't know. Matt LeBlanc, he was in Bon Jovi's video for Miracle in 1990. Then in 1991, he was in Alanis Morissette's Walk Away. And Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers Into the Great Wide Open. Guy gets around. Jennifer Lopez, she was in Janet Jackson's 93 video for That's the Way Love Goes. Matthew McConaughey, when he was in college in 92, he was in Trisha Yearwood's video for Walk Away Joe. Back in 1989, RuPaul was in Love Shack, the B-52's thing. Alicia Silverstone, that one everybody knows, she was in the Crying video in 93 with Aerosmith. Elijah Wood was one of the kids in Paula Abdul's 1989 video for Forever Your Girl. Didn't know that. Patrick Swayze was one of the dancers in Toto's video for Rosanna in 82. And Wesley Snipes was in Michael Jackson's 87 video for Bad because Michael thought Wesley was a real-life gang member, but in actuality, he was just a trained thespian, as they say. More Pete Davidson news. Jesus, this guy is just, he's everywhere. Now he's going into outer space. When is this? Next week on the 23rd on the Jeff Bezos Blue Origin thing. You can see Kim Kardashian's ass from space. Bob Saget's family got tired of every little bit and piece of his story and his autopsy and everything like that getting front page news, and they finally convinced the judge that this was ridiculous. And so yesterday the judge said the records have been permanently sealed. I didn't know they could do that. And I went to New York back in, what year would this have been? I'd say it's probably 2001 2002. I was there to do a bunch of different stuff and go see Saturday Night Live and everything like that. And on the flight back home to St. Louis, I noticed that I had an irritation on my earlobe, my right earlobe. And it was like itching, and then I was like almost crusty a little bit. I know if you're trying to eat breakfast here, this is not a pleasant discussion. Long story made short, I got back to St. Louis, and the thing started getting worse, and it's getting really red and sort of puffed up. And I was like, I'm going to get myself to the doctor. I go to the doctor. He goes, it's just your instincts were correct. You got a staph infection. And they hit me with a big bunch of antibiotics. And the thing, he said, if this thing isn't gone, you know, because I know a lot of people go to see the doctor, they see the doctor, and then the doctor gives them some medicine, and they never really touch base. They never come back. If you don't come back to the doctor's office just assumes that whatever was wrong with you has been corrected, and so everybody lives happily ever after. Well, in this particular case, he said, if this thing isn't good, this was on a Friday, he says, if this thing isn't gone by Tuesday, you're going to probably need to go into the hospital. I'm like, really? Really? This is this serious? It's like, yeah, you got a staph infection. Started reading up on staph infections. really, really scary stuff. And right now, Billy Idol has a staph infection. That's not good. All right, birthdays today. Eva Amuri, who you saw in Californication, who is actually, in reality, the daughter of Susan Sarandon, is 37 today. Eva Longoria, she's hot. She's hot, and she's politically active, too, from Desperate Housewives, 47. Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas, 47. Brett Michaels of Poison, 59. Fabio, real name, Fabio Lanzoni, is 63. Dee Snider, Twisted Sister. He's a great interview.
What happened in Amarillo? Tell people the story.
Well, you know, Twisted started as a bar band and playing in, like, pretty tough bars despite our look. I mean, you know, a lot of biker bars, and it was really a young adult experience. I had quite the tongue as far as cursing and profanity and saying all sorts of absurd things on stage. As we recorded albums and started performing, I took that act with me, and somewhere in 1984, we crossed a turning point where we suddenly became accepted. And unbeknownst to me, the crowd was changing, and now parents were bringing their children to see the band. So I'm up there cursing like a sailor, and some mom took umbrage and pressed charges, and I was arrested in Amarillo, Texas for profanity and disorderly conduct. And, you know, it was the worst part, JC, was that what happened, what I said did, got worse as people telephoned it, you know? So when we went to the next town, like, the stories were like, you know, bestiality and crazy stuff. I was like, wait a minute, I said the F word. What happened here? You know, so, and that's just, and then eventually shows were being canceled, and I was a plague on society.
You set up an interview with Dee Snider, and that boy shows up loaded for bear, 67 today. Sly Stone could have been a musical icon at this point in his life, but man, elevator ain't going to the top floor of this guy, but I love the music. Sly Stone, 79 today. Mike Love with the Beach Boys, total asshole, 81 today. Phil Lesh with the Grateful Dead, 82. Judd Hirsch, hey, Alex. That would be Alex Rieger on Taxi. And con man Jimmy Swaggart is 87. Televangelist who loves hookers in motel rooms in 88. He admitted in a tearful confession that he had sinned. Then in 91, he was stopped by the police for a traffic violation with a fresh prostitute in the car. She said Swaggart asked her for some very kinky stuff, by the way. He is Jerry Lee Lewis's cousin, so it runs in the family. Don't give this cocksucker any more of your money. Huh? It was 50 years ago today, The Godfather opened in theaters. Francis Ford Coppola made this masterpiece for $6 million, but that's over $41 million today in today's money. That's still an incredibly low budget. IMDb says it is number one on their list of the greatest movies of all time. Hollywood Reporter, number one on their list of 100 favorite films, and the American Film Institute says it's number three. And the census turns out undercounted the U.S. population by 20 million people. Well, see, they conducted it when Angelina Jolie and her kids were out of the country. And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Tuesday, March 15th. 246 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known it. We're here every weekday morning at 7 o'clock, give or take a couple of hours. It's absolutely free. If you miss anything, we archive everything here at jcontheline.com. Email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, and help keep us in the top 10 of all podcasts in this country. That's where we are right now. That's where we want to stay. So continue to spread the word. Thank you very much. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.